the Beer EDU podcast, episode 136. A bit of a hiatus. Welcome to the Beer EDU podcast, the podcast for educators that love to learn and share ideas with fellow educators over beers, with your hosts, Kyle Anderson and Ben Dixon.
Kyle!
Ben!
It's been a little bit. I won't say hot minute. It's been a little more than a hot minute.
It's been more than a hot minute. So
your beard is way longer than last time we recorded.
Is it though? I don't feel like it's longer. I just feel like it's kind of like run its course on the length, but I get it taken care of, so it like just evens out. So maybe we haven't seen each other, so maybe it just looks longer.
That's it. So I guess we should start with our introductions. So people, if you're listening, clearly you probably know who we are. Again, Ben Dixon, you find me at BDixonNV, Instagram, Twitter when I'm on there, mostly Instagram, but. And you?
I am Kyle Anderson, Anderson EdTech on Twitter. I kind of revived that a little bit. I was not on it much.
Okay.
Instagram, well, you know, I'm not on that much to begin with, but I'm still there. I've got my blog that I actually posted for the first time in almost a year.
Whoa.
It had been 10 and a half months.
I haven't been on Twitter, so I haven't seen it.
Yeah. So AndersonEdTech.net, I posted my first one in about 10 and a half months.
Cool, man.
And I'm hoping this is the beginning of me getting back into it because I didn't lose the ideas, went in and created four other posts and then just wrote like a sentence just to have the idea there so I can start writing them. So I'm hoping that over the next month or so, I can just knock out a bunch and kind of get back into it because I will say that finally making the time to sit down and write that thing and publish it, it felt really good. Cause I hadn't had the motivation, but now I feel like it might be back.
Okay, cool. Maybe that's what I need. You're right. I mean, that's why I haven't been on Twitter or anything. I mean, I've done stuff, but I just haven't, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, in Twitter, I mean, especially since somebody took over.
Yeah.
It's been kind of weird and whatever. Yeah. And I talk about this with Joe on Sons of Technology about how so much of Twitter now, it's not about having conversations. It's about, hey, look at me. And
I will say this, Twitter is becoming Instagram because Instagram really is like a pay attention to me. Like here's the thing. Although I think Instagram was that. And now I'm finding more and more like people are posting and it's like, I don't want to say long form articles, but they're more like, there's more substance than a photo. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. There's these long winded things that go with them. And, and it's like, you know, you could do, why don't you just post a link there, but you can't post a link unless it's in a comment or something like that on Instagram. It's kind of
weird. And we don't even talk about Facebook. I actually haven't been on Facebook. I think I forgot my password.
Ooh. Okay.
I don't look on it. I don't know. There could be stuff on there.
Yeah. I go on there daily and just scroll for a minute or two and then I'm like, this is boring and I move on. But did you try the Mastodon and or Hive thing at all?
No, what is that?
They're two social media apps that came out. I guess they had been around and just were not gaining any traction. And then when the whole Twitter takeover happened, people started like abandoning Twitter in droves and they started going to Mastodon and Hive and
I might have seen something about that. I thought everyone's going to go back to Tumblr or MySpace. Bring back MySpace.
Yeah, bring back MySpace. So I'd be okay with that if like bands just like abandoned everything, went back to MySpace and listened to music on it again.
I've been going on what is it, Bandcamp or when there's a site. I go on there because you can find all kinds of stuff and order stuff from there. So. But
I've got my Discogs account where I track all my my records. So I see some stuff on there every now and then. And one of the coolest features that figured out on that app, Joe Marquez was telling me that it was a button that you pushed a button and it randomly select a record for you out of your collection. So if you're like, what should I listen to? I couldn't find the button, but I did find that if you pull up your collection, then shake your phone, it would randomly select something. So on Sunday, this past Sunday, when I was writing blog posts and doing some other stuff, I did that and I listened to like three records just by shaking my phone. It was awesome.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I'll have to do that. I'll have to get that.
Yep. So, yeah, I think the first one it pulled up was Linkin Park's Hybrid Theory.
Ooh.
So I listened to that one. And then the next one was, yep, Ghost's Latest Impera was the next one after that. Oh, that album is so freaking
good. That album. If you're listening to this, you need to go listen to Ghost. Yes. And just for the fact that when you see the dude, if you've never seen him.
Oh, yeah.
So awesome.
Well, and then, well, and I actually, I've been listening to a lot of Ghost again lately because A, he's awesome. B, my 7-year-old son, I think it's his favorite band right now, is Ghost. He wants to listen to nothing.
That's fair.
And then C, I've been listening to this podcast called Drinks with Johnny. And it's the bass player, Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold.
Okay. Yes.
Interviews various musicians in long form. And it's like, it's an interview, but it's not.
Right. So
it's kind of like the Beer EDU podcast where we talk to people, but and we interview them, but it's not really an interview.
Okay. But
he had Tobias Forge, who is Ghost, on an episode. And this episode is from like a year ago. I'm just that far behind on it. Cause I just discovered the show a few months ago. And, you know, like, you'd never know that the guy talking was like this pseudo satanic singer of like this doom and
satanic
gloom.
Pope.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, talking about like, you know, taking his teenage daughters to school and everything. I'm like, what?
I read an interview with him in, God, what is the magazine? It's one of the English metal magazines.
Like Metal Hammer or something?
Yeah, that was it. It was in Metal Hammer, which is sad. I mean, like I guess, you know, that's where like I'm so out of the loop on metal bands where I would look through there and be like, oh, like Hailstorm. I'm like, what a great band. Like I have like all these bands that I never listened to, Architects and stuff like that. So yeah, that's cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, and I actually just recently started listening to Liquid Metal on Sirius XM again too. Like I hadn't listened to it for a long time because I get into grooves where I listen to like three channels on there and that's it. Right. Even though there's 700 channels, it's kind of like TV. You get 700 channels, you watch three. Same with Sirius, where I was listening to Lithium, the 90s rock channel. I was listening to Turbo, which is the 90s and 2000s rock metal channel. And then I was listening to Faction Punk. Well, then one day all three channels were playing songs I didn't happen to like. So I went over to Liquid Metal and I heard the new track from Unearth. I'm like, whoa, these guys are still around. And I'm like, let me listen to this for a minute. So though, and then they started getting into some of these other tracks from bands I hadn't heard in a while. I'm like,
have you listened to what is the new Metallica album? Because I
72 Seasons. It's coming out here in a couple months. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's the one before? Okay. I will be honest. In my opinion, there's only four good Metallica albums. The first
fair.
One. And then
fair.
I'm like, I'm out. I'm done. I can't listen. But the one, maybe it was the one right before this one.
Hardwired to Self-Destruct was their latest one in 16. Death Magnetic was before that.
Maybe it was that. Someone was telling me there's one that's like almost like a throwback album to like Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning, which is maybe it's stuff off the new one. I don't know.
It could be. So yeah. So 72 Seasons is coming out in April.
Okay.
See, I'm not as extreme in your opinion on Metallica where there's only four good albums.
Yeah,
the first four by far are superior to anything they've ever done. I get that. I do enjoy the Black Album.
Yeah.
Load and Reload are
You know? I couldn't do it. I bought them. I have them. I just am like, no.
Saint Anger, I've tried.
No, I couldn't.
I have tried so many times and I just can't do it. I even went as far. I found on YouTube one time where some guy basically played all the instruments and re-recorded it without the terrible garbage can sounding drums snares and everything. And the album actually sounded really good. I'm like, why didn't Metallica do this?
For me, it's always like my number one album is Kill 'Em All. It's just I remember hearing that for the very first time when I was like, when it came out.
So you were middle school, 15, ninth 15, grade or something?
Yeah. We were at Mile High Ramp, Tahoe, great skateboard ramp, multiple pro skateboard contests. And somebody played that and I was like straight into just punk rock. And we heard that and we were like, what is this? This is the greatest thing we've ever heard. And then that introduced Slayer, Exodus, all the Bay Area great metal.
Let's say all those that thrash metal, basically all it was harder and faster punk.
Yeah. Yeah. Anthrax and then DRI and all those bands.
You know, and then Metallica fired Dave Mustaine and Megadeth came out of it too.
True. So yeah, I'll have to do that. I went down a rabbit hole with like a bunch of old punk rock stuff, and then I got super into like Husker Du and Sonic Youth. So that's all I've been listening. And then Big
Good
Black,
old noise rock there.
Yep, Steve Albini, some Big Black, all those great bands. So
I would say I don't know if I've necessarily gone down some rabbit holes, but there's a couple bands that I have just been on nonstop rotation for a good month now. One of them is Unearthed, because I heard that new track, so I started going back to some of their old stuff. And I mean, and that's just straight up East Coast like metalcore, just solid, solid American style metal. Teenage Bottle Rocket. Have you listened to that before?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. So straight up, like, I mean, they're like in the last 15 years band, but it's straight up like early 90s skate punk.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, which is just fun. Their song Bigger Than Kiss is just hilarious.
Yes.
So, but then the other one was, because of Drinks with Johnny, he interviewed Heidi Shepherd, who is one of the singers from the band Butcher Babies. So I went back.
Heard them.
So I remember them from, they had an album around 2010.
Okay.
Their debut album is called Goliath. And I had that album, and that whole album just absolutely ripped. And then I kind of lost track of them afterward.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a few albums since then. So I go back and start listening to some of this stuff, and it is just like face melting, like just incredible. So like I was on a Butcher Babies kick for about 3 weeks where that's all I was listening to.
Oh, nice.
They have dueling female singers, one who harmonizes and the other one that's more of the screamer.
Okay.
Yeah. And just like heavy, thrashy, groovy metal. Yeah.
Oh. I'm gonna have to check that out.
I would say the sound of it is and then there's a little bit of electronica in it too.
Okay.
But like the sound of it is kind of like some like late 80s Metallica and Pantera.
Oh,
you know, with the guitars and stuff. Nice. It's solid.
Well, I've tried to listen to every single Rocket from the Crypt album.
Oh, there you go.
I'm like, I've heard some, and then I'm like, how did I miss this band?
Right.
Like they're like, that's a weird combination punk. I don't even know how you would describe that band. So,
yeah.
Well, obviously we've been spending all our time listening to music.
Yeah. Since we haven't recorded. No. So that's the thing. Here we are. Episode 136, by the way, we never
mentioned
that.
We should probably say that.
So
this is a special one.
Yeah. So that's where we're at right now. And you know, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know that we've been on a really consistent schedule of, I mean, for what, 3 years, we were every two weeks.
God, yeah.
And even before that, we were every week. I mean, we were just, but it got to the point like last summer, we took our summer break and then we recorded a bunch of episodes to drop every 2 weeks. And then it just became, it'd be unfair for me to say it became a hassle.
Well, no, but I think you said it best and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I kind of felt this way. And this is it kind of felt like a job.
It did.
And not that we don't love doing this, but there's a difference between doing it became like, I don't know. Maybe that sounds silly. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm sounding disingenuous or something.
I don't want to sound disrespectful to the people that had contacted about being on and those that had signed up on the, form and everything, but it got to the point where, we were trying to schedule things out, and then a guest would have to cancel and we'd have to reschedule
I would cancel because there was stuff that I had happening
And you know, you as a principal, I mean, that's almost a given that
there's
like,
some things I got to do,
some things are going to happen. And in fact, we were going to record this one last week and you had a snow day coming up the next day and you're like, I got stuff I got to take care of. I'm like, no, you can do that.
Well, and that's the thing. And I think that was what it was. And also, I mean, thinking about your job where you are, I mean, you're a dude, you're an admin. Like, I can't even imagine your job. Like, I need one of you at my building.
And you know, it's funny. Like, I think back to my time in Carson City. I'm like, assistant principals did my job. How did they do that on top of what they do? So, especially, and the problem was too, is that a lot of the assistant principals, they don't know the special ed law. Hell, I'm still figuring out special ed law.
That's so funny you should say that. So I just, thinking about your job, I at my school, we have two what we call kinder to fifth grade strategies programs. So students with autism. I triggered another teacher. I'm full. I have 16 kids. And then I have two pre-K strategies now, and they're going to be full.
Wow.
And so, and that's on top of my general resource caseload. So that's so I LEA for every, well, I have a dean right now, but I'm losing him because my numbers are dropping. So then I had a little freak out today and I was like, how am I going to do over 100? I mean, and if you're listening to this, you're in education, you understand what the LEA's job is. It's basically, you know, you oversee the IEP. It's what you do. You read, you know, I get my teachers do a great job of getting me the IEPs ahead of time. I read through them. I made sure, but like, I don't have a special ed degree. I'm luckily married to someone who does, or I know people in the district where, and I have a great team. Cause I'll be like, you know,
well, and in my case, I'm lucky. I'm one of two people at my school that does it. Cool. And my partner, Pam, has been doing it at the same school for 16 years.
Oh, wow.
She has been there forever. So anytime there's something I'm not sure about, I just have to go down to her office or call her or whatever it may be. And then there was one, she was actually gone one day and something came up and I'm like, this is time since I need to know this answer. I called a special ed facilitator at the school down the street. I'm like, hey, dude, I got a question here. Am I doing this right? And, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, you're doing it right. Just mark it that way. And boom, you're good. So, but yeah, to the fact that your school does not have one of me is
right. Well, I'm very lucky because in my zone, which would be like we're broken to zones. So we're like my area superintendent oversees two high schools. The feeder school for me, the high school for me, the middle school, and then the elementaries. And then we have another one. So we have one, what we call a special ed administrator. And then we have a special ed facilitator. So they're like basically you, but they float, which is kind of, and I'm lucky because my special ed administrator is a friend of mine who I've worked with before. We used to teach classes together. So I kind of feel like I got an in because if I text her, she'll respond to me right away. And I'll be like, I just had a thing with an out-of-state IEP where I was like, I'm not really sure because I'm reading this and this is what I think it's saying. And she read it and she's like, yeah, I think, you know, this is what it's saying. And anyways, we had to contact the parent.
And we have a similar thing where we get an out-of-state, Pam and I will look it over, and 99 out of 100 times, Pam looks at it and knows exactly where that kid's got to go, put what classes, whatever. And I'm getting better at it myself. But there's every now and then, there's one that comes in and you're like, I have no idea because just it's written in a way that's not the style that we do in Nevada, or it's just a garbage IEP. You get those every now and then. But no, we had one recently where it come across our desk and the registrar is like, let me know what classes to put her in. And I look at it. I'm like, this girl was in a special ed school in her previous district. So. Right.
We've had those too. Yeah. A separate self-contained school where you're like, they were not with any sort of, they weren't in a general population school.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
So we end up calling case management at the district level and said, you need to review this. So we sent it to them and they got back to us the next day and said, nope, she belongs at, we have two schools that are specifically for students with emotional disturbance. And that's where this student ended up getting placed.
Do you guys have separate school too for like your high impacted students, like medically fragile and those kind of things? Or do they
So we have a handful of special schools, two of which are for like severe behavior, emotional disturbance.
Right. We have the same.
We had a student beginning of the year that we had to collect a lot of data on that eventually we had to have the student move to that school because we could not service this student. So, but we also have one, it's called the Helen J. Stewart School. And this is for students that are very severe, like not mobile, nonverbal.
We have the same thing.
Will elope at the drop of a hat. Just students that like would need a one-on-one aid, almost like every one of the kids in that type of school is a one-on-one aid kind of deal. Sure. So, but yeah, we do have that school as well. Okay. So, and we had a student earlier this year as well in one of our autism programs where we recommended the student for that school and they end up going to another high school. And as far as I know, still at that high school and they're at their wit's end trying to figure out what to do with the poor kid.
It's hard. I mean, that's, special ed is a, I saw Melanie McCaster. Yes, we do need lots of more supports in special ed and counselors and social workers. I would love a social worker.
Yeah, all of those things. I'm very fortunate. My school has two social workers and then we have two people that are part of a communities and schools program to where they can go and find things like, you know, the doctors that are doing free eye exams and free dental exams and stuff, you know, help kids get a prom dress, you know, that kind of thing. So we have that. And then we also have like, they're not social workers, but they're not teachers where kids can just like pop in to talk to them, whatever. So we actually have a handful of people on my campus like that, but
we have we have something similar, but I mean, your school is what, 3,000 kids?
Hey, it's 3,500. Get it right.
Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not going to complain because I have a whole 470. Yeah.
Which, and if you take the number of kids we have at my school and apply the 10% of most schools are students with IEPs, that means we have almost 350 IEPs in my school.
Which is why they have it. Which is why you have.
Which is why there's two of us.
Two of you. Wow. Yes. That is nuts that you're that big.
Yeah. That and I've talked about like my role on here before, but being I'm getting back into trying to write my blog more often, I'm actually going to write one on like what my role is because, you know, like I haven't written anything since I came into this position.
Okay.
And I mentioned it briefly in the post I posted out the other day.
Right.
And about I put in there, I'm like, parentheses, like more on this later. So I'm going to dedicate a post just on like what my job is.
I think that would be good because I don't know. And I don't know what other districts, I only know what my district and your district and just really because of your job, which we have something similar. Like, I don't know what other schools, I know at some schools they've done things where they have something similar to your job, where they have an allocation where that person just reviews and writes IEPs. And then they basically case manage. And then then you'll have another special education teacher or two that just deliver.
Right.
So
yeah. Well, and I would have I'd be hard pressed to believe, at least in Nevada, that any other district outside of mine has my role. It's probably because you don't have it in your district. The third largest district that I used to work at, they didn't have it. I can't imagine the smaller districts having it.
Because no way.
You know, they struggle enough getting people in their districts as it is. So
I think that would be good to kind of explain your, like how you do that. So, which is why you're very busy. You have two small children and you have stuff going on. We've kind of like not recorded since, I think I was looking at the notes, November.
it's been almost 5 months since we recorded.
Let's see, Wednesday is the first day of March. So that should give everybody an idea.
No. And I mean, and if you follow us on socials at all, we did put a thing out a while back saying that, you know, we're going kind of on a hiatus and, you know, it was actually really heartwarming to see the amount of responses we got of people bummed that we were going to do that. And I just remember we were reassuring people, this isn't the end. Like the band isn't breaking up.
No, we're just taking a break. And I think I would be interested to throw a poll out there to see how many people, because I do, as much as I was joking about Twitter, I do get on like a couple times a week and I scroll through and I see what people are posting. Definitely the people that I follow and the people that I've interacted with the most are not posting a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's your guys like, damn, Punk Rock Classrooms. God bless you guys. Cause they're putting out content. Boom.
Every week, you guys are putting out content and you guys, your social media isn't. And you know, Mike, you're already a principal.
I know.
Josh, you're a first year assistant principal.
That's looking
to move into principal next year. And at this point, maybe you already accepted a principal position for next year. I haven't seen or heard anything yet. So, but
So I guess I really shouldn't be whining how busy I am.
Well, and for me with my role, it's not like I'm bringing work home. I never bring work home, but it's one of those deals where like, when I do come home, I'm like done. I don't want to do anything that involves getting on a computer. And I've been very diligent about I'm still walking every day.
Good.
I'm over 280 days in a row at this point.
Nice.
And I've done less than 4 miles on one day is all. Nice. I've done over 4 miles on 279 of those days. And then I did take a break from the bike for a while, but I'm back on the bike again, doing that. And, you know, my wife just walked by wearing a less than Jake shirt. Very nice. So yeah. But yeah, so like, and then like you mentioned my kids, my daughter is in competitive dance.
God. Yes.
You know, just what she's doing. She won a national championship last year with one of her dances.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean,
she's legit.
She's legit. And then this year, the first couple competitions, several of her dances have placed first overall to the point where we're trying to figure out if this is going to happen. One of her dances won first overall for the entire competition out of hundreds of dances. And her and the other, I think, five girls on the dance got invited to go to New York City for a week this summer. Wow. And go to Radio City Music Hall and basically work out with the Rockettes.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, and it's one of those things where like, it's pricey, but like we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things. I think it's either you all go or you don't go kind of deal. So we got to work with the other parents,
families
to see if it's going to happen. Well, and then of course this is going to be the same week that Mary and I, my wife, booked a cruise. So for her 40th birthday, we wanted to do something and we ended up deciding let's go on a cruise. So
okay.
We're flying into Boston right after the 4th of July. We're going to be in Boston for a day. I get to go to Fenway Park. I'm so excited. And then we are leaving from Boston. And for 2 days, we're at sea. And we're going to Bermuda. Docking in Bermuda for 3 days. Nice. And then on the way back, we go to Bar Harbor, Maine for a day before back to Boston. And this trip to New York for my daughter is basically that same week. So now it's like, okay, would one of the parents fly with Elsa, take her there? Right. Or my mother has volunteered.
I was just going to say,
fly her out there. Yeah.
What are you talking about? Grandma, love that.
Yeah.
So, I've met your mom. Your mom would totally be down.
Yeah. Oh, and then my son, he's playing hockey.
Well, yes,
and,
that's the other thing. Like, that's got to be.
Yeah, that's a couple. But that's only a couple days a week. So, and it's way cheaper than my daughter's dance, believe it or not.
Damn. Are you playing at all?
I haven't played in a while because all the games are at like 10:30 at night. And I can't do that.
That's why I quit playing indoor soccer.
Because I was about to ask if you were still playing soccer.
I was like, dude, I cannot. That's bedtime. I could barely make it up till as we're recording this, it's going to hit 8 o'clock or 8:30. I'm going to be like, oh, dude, I got to go to bed.
Yeah. No, we're we're definitely. I am in bed by 9 most nights. Doesn't mean I'm asleep yet, but I am in bed by 9 and I'm watching TV or something like that, or but
my wife got me into because in October I'd gotten COVID and I don't know if I got long haul or whatever, but I was sick until January.
Yeah.
Like I was still sick. Like I just couldn't get better. And then I hadn't worked out and I shockingly became a little bit crabby. My wife was not happy with me because I hadn't been working out, hadn't been riding, hadn't been doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So she convinced me to sign up to go. So we go to Orange Theory like 2 days, we go 2 or 3 days a week and we go at 5 a.m. And then, which is pretty cool. I actually didn't think I'd like it, but I do. I mean, I just ran on the treadmill and lift weights, but then she started me going to bar, which I was like,
oh, okay. Not like it's like a stretching or something
like that. It's like ballet, but it's the gnarliest workout I've ever had. Like my heart rate doesn't go up, but when I'm done, I'm so sore because it's all stretching. Mm-hmm. Like it's an hour of super intense. Like you use these little 5 pound weights and I'm like, oh, seriously, I'll take a 10. Yeah.
But then you're holding them in front of you for like 10 minutes.
So you're holding them like this, shaking for 5 minutes. And then, so she's got me doing that. So I do get up super early to go work out because I can't. Yeah.
No, I was doing for my walks. I was doing getting up at 4:30 and getting out the door and doing that. But lately anymore, it's like, you know what? I almost feel better getting out in the afternoon and doing it when there's still some sunlight.
Decompress and everything.
Yeah. And, you know, because if I was going at 4:30 in the morning, it's dark. And
yes,
my neighborhood is it's not a dangerous neighborhood by any means. Like I don't have concerns with that, but I do have concerns with the number of coyotes in the area.
You're going to, same with my neighborhood.
So yes, there's a lot of coyotes around me. So, and I've seen them on my walks before, and I'm not necessarily worried about getting attacked by a coyote, but you just don't know.
Right. No, so, no, I'm with you. You know, no, that makes total sense. That's not how you want to start your work day.
No, not at all. Oh, what happened to you? What's that mark on your eye? Oh, a coyote bit me.
I had to fight a coyote. Yeah. No big deal. No big.
So, but between trying to work out, staying active with the family and whatnot, and then, having a job all day.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I haven't had the energy to do much else. You know, like I said, I finally sat down, wrote a blog post the other day, posted some stuff on social media. I did go to a great conference a while back. I went to San Antonio, went to the TCA conference, and I think that's kind of what sparked me again.
Okay, I was going to ask you that because I always find that when I haven't been to a conference, I haven't been to a conference since Q19? We went to Q.
Yeah,
I haven't gone.
Q19.
So I am going on a a trip. We're going on a cruise spring break. We're going to go. We're going to do one of those river cruises from Switzerland to Amsterdam.
Ooh,
which is super. Yeah, we've been my wife's been setting this up, saving. But then right when we get back, I have like one day back in Reno, and then I'm going to a behavior conference, like a PBIS and behavior conference in Jacksonville, Florida. So I'm hoping that'll get some. I always seem to get more motivated after a conference. I mean, is that the same with you?
Yeah. And so I got asked by numerous people at TCA, hey, are you here presenting? And I'm like, no, I'm just here attending and whatever. But like, even with like spring Q and last year, whatever, I was not motivated to put in sessions.
Right.
And part of it was because like, I just felt lethargic about it, but also like, I felt like I was in a rut where I just didn't really have much to contribute.
Okay. Fair.
And right now I still kind of feel that way just because it's a lot different when you're not necessarily in the classroom.
Okay.
Too. So like the stuff that I used to present on is stuff that's more specific to the classroom and like, I don't want to say I'm a fraud for presenting stuff like that, but I almost, it feels weird. Like, well, you're not even in the classroom. How do you know?
Well, I don't know about you, but it'd be like when I've presented stuff on like reading instruction, because I used to do a lot on that. And now I'm like, okay, well, I haven't taught well, except for this year, because I did do a reading group a little bit this year, but I'm not a classroom teacher. Right. So am I really up on the current practices? I don't think I am. I mean, I watch teachers teach and I know instruction, but you're right. I can understand that.
Well, and then there's a lot of the tools that I used to be heavily into that we don't use in my district, like Google Classroom, for example. I was a Google Classroom.
Yeah.
I'm borderline expert. Certified. Like, you could ask me anything on Google Classroom. And now I can't even tell you what that program looks like because I haven't seen it in well over 2 years now because my district is not, they've actually blocked it because we use Canvas. So, I have no idea what that even looks like. I went to a session at TCA that was like Google updates. Mm-hmm. And the first couple of were these, I can't even remember now, but I'm like, oh, these are pretty good. Well, then the next four they talked about were all for Google Classroom. I actually ended up getting up and leaving the session because isn't useful to me. None of this stuff. And it had nothing to do with the presenters. The presenters were incredible. It was, it was this group that they're really big in Texas. They call themselves Fry Ed, F-R-I-E-D or something like that. I don't know if that means like Friday PD, Friday Education or something like that, or what the deal was. But like, it was like this whole group of women that's kind of their hashtag whatever. And they were presenting. They were very enthusiastic, very knowledgeable, and everything was awesome. I'm like, this doesn't apply to me.
Right.
Because it's all Google Classroom stuff.
Yeah. But it's the same. I wouldn't be able to use it in my district. And I love that stuff, but
but I did dive into, I met the representative for a company called Moat at TCA. It's a voice recording thing that embeds into like doc sheets and forms and whatnot.
Ooh.
And, where like you can just like leave a little voice, like voice feedback in Google Docs instead of typing the feedback in.
No.
Or for Google Forms, like you can basically do like read the question and attach it to it. So like if a kid struggles with reading, they can listen to you read the question. So I really dove into that a little bit. I've been really working on that lately. So, and then, well, Melody McAllister jumped on a little bit ago. She had me start looking at Spaces EDU a little bit too. So my AP, he actually had a meeting with Spaces to see if it's something we might be able to bring into my school. Nice. So
cool. Well, that's, yeah. And I think you tapped into something and I don't know, I'd have to look. I kind of feel like after the pandemic, everybody realized they didn't need to do face-to-face conferences. So everybody started doing webinars. Dude, I can't do a webinar.
You know what's funny? We are inadvertently basically covering my blog post. Like, I almost want to just pull the thing up and just start reading excerpts from it because we've literally talked about
it. I haven't even read it.
Yeah. And that's the best part about it. But no, I said the exact same thing where like in the beginning, I was very enthusiastic about the online conference, the webinar.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, cool, I don't even have to put on pants and I can sit here and do these things from my house. Well, then that's what, like after so many months of that, I realized I need face-to-face people interaction. And
I think that's what it is. I also feel like the webinar, I still have done some and I've done a couple and the content was good, but it was kind of like, I don't know. I was like, I'm doing homework. I'm like, I need to go to a conference and see, like, I'm with you. I have to see people. I have to see people face to face. I have to talk to them. Yeah. I can't, I'm not a good self-learner.
With the webinar, so many of the webinars too, they're pre-recorded. So if you have a question, you're not getting the answer. And even with the virtual session, they may not get your question.
Because there's so many people.
Unless there's so many people, or if there is someone monitoring the chat, maybe they don't see your question come up in the chat or something. So when I was at Fall Q back in October, I was one of the session recorders. So I was monitoring the chat. So I was doing my best to either answer the question myself for them in the chat or relay it to the presenter so they could. But I mean, there was issues with the recordings too. Right. So that kind of became an issue. So
how was the turnout at the conference you went to? Was it packed?
TCA?
Yeah.
Oh, it was insane. I don't know. I think the numbers.
It's one of the biggest.
It was huge. I bet you it was 10,000. It was really big. I got there on Sunday. And here's the best part. When I got into San Antonio on Sunday, it was like 80 degrees. It had rained earlier today, so it was sticky and gross. Yeah. I had packed nothing but like sweaters and flannels because I saw the weather report was supposed to be like, 50s to low 60s all week, whatever. So that's what I packed. I get there, it's 80 degrees. Oh my God, what did I do? It flipped the next morning. It was 40 degrees and raining. That's when the ice storm hit Texas.
Oh, right.
San Antonio didn't get it that bad. San Antonio didn't get it that bad, but it didn't go above 40 and didn't stop raining pretty much the entire time I was there.
Oh, crap.
My hotel was 2 blocks from the Alamo, and I didn't even go.
Wow.
That's because the weather was so bad. Riverwalk was right there. On the last day, I finally got up where it wasn't raining. So I was able to go for a walk along the Riverwalk. Most of didn't go out to a lot of different places after the conference because the weather was miserable. I went to a San Antonio Spurs game one night and I hadn't watched the NBA in a long time. I picked the wrong team to go watch because the Spurs are absolutely terrible right now.
Who did they play?
They were playing the Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
And the Kings are like an over 500 team this year. But even then, though, I'm like, this is bad.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No, well, we actually ended up leaving at the end of the third quarter just because we wanted to get an Uber back and not have to deal with any traffic or anything. But we just, like I said, it was so miserable there, but the sessions, most of the sessions I went to were great. The only session I really did not like was this one. It was about reaching the hardest to reach families. And I'm like, oh my God, we have this issue all the time with IEPs. Right. First 10 minutes were like, my school, we went from, 10% of families not answering. Now we're only down to 3%. It was a total sales pitch for a vendor.
Didn't
mention it in the title, didn't mention it in the description. It was a total bait and switch. There was me and about a dozen people walked out. Like,
I've been to those where you're like, and then if you sign up for our, and you're like,
yeah,
Is this a timeshare pitch?
Yeah. I'm waiting for Billy Mays to come around the corner and say, but yep. Wait, there's more.
ShamWow.
Yeah. ShamWow guy.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Well, good. That's good to know. I mean, I kind of think that's the piece. I agree with you. That's the piece that's missing for me. And I'm hoping that going to this conference will kind of like motivate me. I mean, I do great. I think I do a great job at my job, but I'm like you. It's like when I go home, like I've become very clear about like, unless my teachers text me if it's an emergency, but I'm not looking at my email after a certain time, and I don't open it in the morning. I stop sending emails at 5 a.m. because there's no reason to. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And we're only a couple weeks out from spring Q. So I'm hoping that, you know, getting there and getting around people again is going to kind of spark that, that interest again. And I've got a couple of my coworkers are going to that again. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to bring some of that back to the school and whatnot. Good. So yeah, looking forward to it. And then, you know, of course I'll be doing, you know, the usual stuff, the meet the authors, the meet the podcaster stuff and whatever. And then I've already started looking at the schedule to see what I can try to get to, but I am a volunteer. So I'm trying to work around that schedule.
You're gonna work.
Now I've got conflicts with my scheduling because meet the authors is at this time. I'm supposed to be volunteering at that time, so we're trying to figure that out. But I mean, regardless, it'll be fine. So it'll be a good time. You know, of course, it falls during that time when the tennis tournament's in Palm Springs. So getting food's going to be a struggle.
Yeah, because it's still 17th. March 19th.
Yeah, 16th, 17th, and 18th is.
And every time I'm like I'll be on an airplane to Switzerland and then coming back, I'll be flying here and then flying to Florida. So during spring break, which I'm not excited about.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is that this time around, I think this is the first time it's ever fallen on spring break.
I think
For me, at least, where
for you, for me, it always seems to be it's the weekend of the 17th, and we traditionally either are right there at that time, or we're doing testing. That's the other problem that I have.
So so this time it's during spring break, but I'm okay with that because you know now I don't have to miss any work, which is fine with me. Cool. And then we're doing as a family, we're doing Legoland for the first half of that week, so we're going to go to Legoland. And then the original plan was they were going to drop me off in Palm Springs and I'd get back. But then time they would drop me off in Palm Springs, I'd be sending them home, driving down a road they've never been on before with barely any cell service, possibly at night. I was not comfortable with that. Yeah. So
are they going to stay there?
No. So we're going to come back from Legoland on that Wednesday, get home. That way I can do some laundry and repack
and head back.
And then I'll head back. And right now I have a flight to Palm Springs, but I might end up driving just because my hotel is a couple of miles away.
Right.
And I don't know if I want to rely on Ubers the whole time. So having my car, I think would be a good thing to have. So, and I can just cancel the flight and have the flight credit for down the road. So.
Yeah. I do love Palm Springs on spring break though, man. That's like one of my favorite places.
Yeah. No, and like people that I've been talking to people are like, man, what's the weather like during that time? I'm like, well, usually 70s, maybe low 80s. That's about normal. I've been there when it was 60 and raining the whole time.
Yeah.
I've been there when they cracked 100 for the first time in the year in the middle of March. So, you know, you almost have to, you have to pack for bipolar weather pretty much.
Well, because nights are cold because it is. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. The nights still get a little chilly.
I mean, I think. There, so. Was it? Might have been when we did Q. When I went to Q, we had gone down before and we had stayed up in the mountains in this super cool cabin, but it was so freaking cold.
Yeah.
Dude, it was.
Those mountains are no joke around Palm Springs.
They're like straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're super cool. I love that place. What
I like when you get the years where they've gotten a lot of rain. So this year is probably going to be real nice.
Super
those
green.
Those mountains are pure green and gold.
Oh, God. From like all
flowers and everything, and the cacti coming in bloom.
I joke with Amory all the time when we retire. I'm like, we're going to go stay there. Like, that's where I want to go from about January till about April.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then I'll come back.
No, because starting in April is when it gets. Yeah. Las Vegas is hot. Palm Springs is another level hot. That is because it's about 5 to 10 degrees hotter in that bowl. And then because of all the golf courses and the irrigation, it's humid.
Yep. There. And then it's windy.
Yes. So, yeah, hence why there is a wind farm.
8,000 wind turbines as you drive in from L.A.
Yeah. So if you roll down your window and turn off your radio, you can just hear the whir as you're driving through there, I think.
So. Well, cool, man. That's good. So that sounds like you got some stuff going on.
Yeah. So it sounds like you got some too. So.
Yeah. I mean, and we were kind of just talking, you know, like we've told people this is we're not ending the podcast. We're kind of taking a break, but we were talking a little before we start recording about like possibly if we have something going on or we know some people that are doing some stuff, maybe around spring Q, maybe after spring Q, mm-hmm. it'd be cool to do a wrap up.
Yeah.
Of what you saw.
Well, and it's, you know, we have not talked about this. I'm just kind of spitballing as we go, but even though like, yeah, we've taken a break, we've been on this bit of a hiatus. I think it'd be kind of cool if we could try to go at least once a month, you know, without making promises, you know, go once a month, whether it's just you and I just BSing it a little bit, you know, checking in, or if, you know, we can find someone on relatively short notice and mm-hmm. get them on. So unfortunately, I don't think we're going to open up that form again. Not right now, at least, because we did have some bad luck with some guests that ghosted us. And then I don't want to get someone, I don't want to open that form up, say today, and then three people sign up for it, and then we don't get them on for the next 9 months.
And that's where I was going. Yes. Yeah. I don't want to I don't want people to be like, oh, I want to be on the show. And then like, we don't talk to them for 4 weeks because we're doing other stuff. I think we might, I mean, maybe it just becomes more organic and we kind of like, hey, we're recording, you know, we put something out there and we might be, I don't want to say picky, but I mean, we might reach out to some people. Yeah, because we know they've got some stuff,
right? You know, and like some friends of the show kind of deal,
right? So no, I think so because there's
some people that have been on before or are big supporters of the show, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
that would be good.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll see. Like, we don't want to make any promises on anything, but you know, we still got School of Rubric out there supporting us. We still got Code Breaker. They're supporting us still. You know, we thank them for their support. Whatever, and I mean, you can still find us on the Twitters at BeerEDUPod, and Instagram's still there. We got our website.
Yep.
I don't know why you go to the website because the form's turned off, but
yeah. But you can. I mean, mostly, I think hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up. You know, go to School Rubric. Go to Code Breakers. I mean, there are lots of people still putting out amazing, really a ton of great content. I know Shay and Pav have been putting out stuff.
Yeah.
So I mean, they're.
Oh, my Ed Tech Life. I met the Fonz at TCA. Oh,
sweet.
Yeah. Alfonso Mendoza. I met him at TCA and we exchanged a little podcast swag and whatnot. And then we were supposed to do a little recording for his show, but just things caught up.
Yeah.
But no, super nice dude. I met him. So that was a good time. But so lots of stuff out on Code Breaker and School Rubric that you can check out. So, but and then we normally talk about beers at the beginning, but we were talking a little bit. We both kind of cut back on the beer a little bit too.
I mean, we don't have show notes or anything. I mean, I will tell you there is if you like Rogue Brewing, Dead Guy Classic, it's one of their standbys. They're doing an IPA. Shocker, I like an IPA, but like we were talking about, I mean, do you know what I drink a lot of? I drink a lot of Firehouse beers. I learned this term. My friend Tierney, whose son's a fireman in Denver, she goes, "Yeah, they drink Firehouse beers, which is bubbly water, like LaCroix." That's what I like. Firehouse beers.
Yeah. Well, and I haven't bought it in a while, but those hop waters, I was into those for a minute.
Those were good. Those are good. And, you know, Athletic Brewing's doing a really good job with their non-alcoholic. Their IPA is pretty. It's good. It's good.
Yeah. Well, and I've kind of. You know, I had some blood work done a while back and there's some issues with my blood that alcohol doesn't help. So I've cut back a little bit because of that. And then I also decided that if I am going to have a drink, I'm going to go more the hard liquor route because those tend to have a lot less calories than a beer. You know what I mean? I agree. Especially some of these sandwiches in a can you and I tend to drink.
I know. Well, that might be. Maybe that's the next thing. We'll do a whiskey tasting.
We could do that. So yeah,
we could literally learn about whiskey. That's like a whole other area that we've never talked about.
Oh yeah. So I think somebody's in support of that. Oh, yeah. you can't see the emoji. There's the little devil horns.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would be Jay. That's my Dean. That's my guy. That's my buddy.
Yeah, throwing
my
up roommate. The horns on the whiskey, I think so. But yeah, I know the Buffalo Trace is available again. So I've been into that. And then when I was in San Antonio, I regret it now. I should have brought back some of the Devil's River Distillery stuff. Yeah. Oh, they had some stuff.
Well, they were talking about a cold brew, and I've never had one. Yeah. Now I'm going to have to search one out.
They had a cold brew whiskey that was incredible.
Ooh. Okay. Yep. Now I have a mission.
Yep. And then, what did I have the other night? Oh, I had a smoked old fashioned made with Russell's 10 year.
Ooh.
Oh man, was that good? So,
I had a Doppelbock. We went to the German restaurant the other night, and I had a smoked Doppelbock. They did a
Rauch beer as a double.
So they did. I want to say it. I'd have to go back in my Untappd and look, but it's a German. So the Von Bismarck is a restaurant here. It's all German food, all German beers, like legit. And it was, I want to say it might have been a Doppelbock or just a Bock, but the malts are toasted, and when you smell it, it does have that whiskey kind of smoke.
Nice.
It was good. That was a good one.
Yeah, so. I can get into that too, but yeah. So that's 136 in the book. So, I mean, we'll be back.
Yeah, we will. You know, yeah.
Sooner than later. I'm not saying hiatus over, but no. We'll be back here in the next few weeks.
We'll just drop them intermittently and, we'll put out some stuff prior to a show coming out. And, we appreciate everybody for the feedback. When we said we were going to take a little break, we got a lot of great feedback.
That was nice
from people.
To see.
That was beautiful. So, I mean, but we just got some stuff we're doing.
Yeah, the 2 week rotation of drops isn't going to happen again anytime soon. But we'll be back here soon enough. So
there it is.
Well, I guess it took me a minute to remember. How do we close these things out? Oh, I remember.
I believe you say something.
Yes. So until next time, may the malts and the hops be with you.
Right on.